Grace and peace you this day from our Lord Jesus Christ, His Heavenly Father, and their blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm going to start this by saying I do not have any kids. I do, though, have a corgi. And anybody who's ever owned a corgi knows when you walk outside, you no longer have a corgi. Everyone goes, "It's a corgi!" And they start fawning all over your dog. If you have a golden retriever, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the whole thing. I've not yet had the courage to take my dogs to Denison, because I have a feeling if I take a corgi in the middle of final preparation, I'm not going to have a dog. They're like, "Ah!" And they pick up the dog, "Oh, may I walk your dog?" All this kind of stuff. And my dog, my corgi, won't love every moment of that, going, "Oh, you all love me." I mention that story because I couldn't imagine being Joseph and Mary. And they're going to the temple because they have to, by the law, to present Jesus and have themselves become purified in the process from the sins of childbirth, as is decreed by the law. And so they get there. They have their two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And what happens? This total stranger just comes up and takes their baby and says, "Oh, I've been waiting for you for so long, now I can die." I don't know about you, but I might have a less than positive reaction to someone doing that to my baby. And then to top it off, he says, "Your son's going to be the cause of the rising and falling of a lot of people," and looks right at mom and says, "And he's going to put a sword through your heart." Thanks for coming. Enjoy your time of purification. And then, to top it off, Anna comes up and starts worshiping more and more. And I can't imagine being Joseph going, "I'm just here to get purified. What is the deal with this?" But in the process of them doing that, they have to let their baby go. They have to understand, you know, I can't hold on to the baby. The baby, for the whole process to happen, they have to let their baby go. As uncomfortable as that might have been for any young parent of a two-week-old child, to let it go. I mention that because I have another question for you. How many of you have ever made a mistake in high school? Only one person should not be raising his hand. No, two guys. Isaac, I'm forgetting his name right now, I'm sorry. Colin. Isaac and Colin. Everybody else here should be going, "Yes, I made a mistake in high school." Now, oh, Madeline, are you not in high school yet? Oh, okay. Three people shouldn't be raising their hands here. If I changed it to middle school, would you raise your hand? Girl. So, and then, now some of you haven't done this part just yet, but when you go to your reunion, and if your mistake was big enough and public enough, what will eventually come up? That thing. And you all, and then all of a sudden, you might have made that mistake one time. And it wasn't even on purpose. For me. For me. And I changed my sermon up that way Marilyn doesn't have to hear the same sermon twice. I was a freshman in marching band. My very first one. My mom's embarrassed I'm telling this story. That's a good story. And I was told, all the band moms said, "Buy a belt, wear a belt, or uniform." And I go, "I'm too cool for that. I'm too cool." Because they're on each end. Then I found out the error of my ways. Because on both sides of the pants, it's a one-size-fits-most kind of pants deal. Or they have zippers on both sides and then snaps. You know, that kind of thing. It takes to attach it. Well, I've adjusted my pair of pants. I'm ready to go. Thank God it's an away game. The zipper collapses. There is a wardrobe malfunction, Carolyn, on my zipper, on my left side. It was. And I go, you know what? I try to get a belt. I don't have a belt with me. It was an away game. I couldn't get a belt off of somebody else. Because why? They're using theirs for some reason. And so I go, you know what? I got it covered. I play the saxophone. I'll just kind of wedge my elbow down here. You know, that worked a little bit. It really did. Until the band director said, "Band 10 Hut." And I'm starting to feel my wardrobe malfunction, Addy, get even worse and worse and worse. to top it off, this is the first football game of the season. And I was wearing tan shorts underneath it, and we were all tan because we were marching band camp. So from 50 yards away, it looks like I wasn't wearing anything at all. And so I'm here, and I'm marching on, and I'm seeing these people. I'm trying to get their respect, and they're all playing. You can't really play trumpet and laugh a lot at the same time. It's just not going to happen. And these people are going, it was an entertaining half show for a lot of different people. I get to the sidelines. I am in tears.
My band's going down.
And the person who had adopted me said, Chris, what happened?
My zipper fell. It fell apart. And I couldn't get it back together again. And then we have a belt.
And she said, well, didn't you know about the snaps? Didn't you know about the snaps? That has made it even worse. I realized there were snaps there. I didn't notice them. I didn't have to go through that. So I get my zipper reattached. I get snapped up there. I wanted to get a staple gun to make sure it didn't happen again. And we're walking in front of the visiting stands. Hilliard High School, at that point, that's where we were that night. And third quarter, like all marching bands, you had the third quarter off. So we finished the halftime show. And she and I are walking in front of the stands. And then she jumps up and down and yells, it was him! It was him! I tell you that story because for the next 3 years, I was known as that guy. As we were going for band fitting, and inevitably one of the band moms said, would tell someone, make certain that you wear a belt. And someone would go, I don't need to wear a belt. And then they go, Chris, would you like to share a story? Wear a belt. And so I was become known as that guy. And that if I were to go to my high school reunion, I would still come up this day. I am inevitably married, wedded, melded, known infamously for that experience. I tell you that because I'm no longer that guy. I'm no longer that guy that was wandering around thinking he's too arrogant to wear a belt on a marching band field. But that's still part of who, but the story is people's impressions of me. Now that's a humorous example, but there are other things in our lives. There are other things in our lives that we have done or we have failed to do that we still cling to today. Mistakes that we have done, and it is a hindrance. It is like a millstone around our neck. Because let me give you on a different perspective. How many of you in your lives know someone who couldn't let something go? I can't believe I told that joke. When? 20 years ago. And they're still haunted by it today. And so you want to say, hey, be like Elsa and let it go. Just let it go. Those who don't get it, it's a reference to Frozen. When you have two nieces like that in Disney, you're inundated with Disney references. But there's so many times in our lives we cling on to things that we shouldn't cling on to. But that's what Jesus calls us to do with the process of purification. Like Joseph and Mary, they had to let their baby go, be held by the priest, and other people that were there as well. There's so many times in our lives, the biggest hindrance outside of acknowledging how we've messed up is that we refuse to let it go. We refuse to release it. We refuse to leave it at the foot of the cross. Or we'll do this. God, I'm sorry I've done this. I'm putting it at the foot of your cross. I'm going to pick it back up just to make certain it's kept nice and warm. And we carry it with us like an uncomfortable life jacket where everything has to be done through that lens. Now, I understand life jackets are important. I really do. But have you ever tried to get dressed with a life jacket on? Present pro accepted. They're inconvenient. And after a while, they begin to smell. And not that quite pleasant smell like a... Is it potpourri? No, it's my life jacket. No, it gets in the way. And then trying to touch your toes or tie your shoes with that life jacket on. It gets so onerous. But we are called to let Christ be Christ. And when we ask forgiveness, allow Christ to fully do God's job. Let us seek forgiveness and leave it there. Going back to the friend of ours who can't let it go, how much different could their life be like if they actually would? How much different would their life be like if they were to forgive themselves as part of the purification process? To let them go, to realize, I have made a mistake, I have learned from it, I won't do it again. And move on. To move on in our lives. That's the kind of freedom God is offering us. Isn't that the kind of life we want? But yet we cling to various things that we have done, or things that we have failed to do. Like that sweaty life coat. Thinking somehow, if I just keep it, somehow I can make peace with this. Christ communicated God's love for us fully from the cross and has called us to lay those things down there. To allow the light of Christ to shine the dirty things in our closet. And I'm not talking about soiled things, but you know we all have that junk drawer in our house? Who has a junk closet? And sometimes you open up your bedroom, that closet door, and the light goes in there. And you're going, oh dear God. Oh dear God, what have I wrought? What is there facing me? Is this my son's microbiology experiment? We don't know. But we're just going to move through this, move on. We're going to let it go. Open up the closet doors of our lives. Allow the light of Christ to come in. To help clean what needs to be cleaned. To let Christ purify our lives so that we can get about the business of living. I'll end it with this example. How many of you have ever kept a secret? How many of you, that secret burns and burns inside you, and you have to make certain what not to say? Like a surprise birthday party. Who knows? Who doesn't know? Who's invited? Who's not invited? All these kinds of things. It's a secret. Shh. Don't tell anybody. I hate those kinds of things. You know why? I'll tell you why. I will tell you why, Colin. Because we spend so much energy to doing the keeping the secret that we aren't living in the moment. We spend so much energy keeping things that we shouldn't be keeping secret and safe that we are killing ourselves spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally. Allow the light of Christ to come in. Allow God's love to help scour away what needs to be cleansed and become purified through God's grace. Let it go. Trust that God's love is far, far greater than anything we could do otherwise. God's not going to not love us. God's not going to not love us because we have sinned. As you leave this day, trust in that love and that grace. Amen.